Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon is entitled, God is Still Speaking. And that phrase, along with a comma at the end, is from one of the United Church of Christ's media campaigns. The United Church of Christ is one of our ecumenical partners, and this campaign brought them a lot of attention, not all of it positive. Some Christians believe that God has already said all that needs to be said, and there is no new continuing revelation. But both our denomination, the ELCA, and the UCC denomination believe that God is still active and present in the world. In our first lesson this morning, Elijah is hiding in a cave. Jezebel has threatened to kill him. Her men are after him. He is afraid and waiting for God. And the wind comes, but God's not there. And the earthquake comes, but God's not there. And the fire comes, and God isn't there. And then God was there in the silence. In our time, probably in every age, the loud and dynamic command the most attention. People say and do ridiculous things in order to get noticed. It isn't just 15 seconds of fame now, it's hits and likes and shares and retweets. And with the ever-expanding presence of social media, we read and share things that just a generation ago would have been kept hush-hush. And you know, if reality isn't good enough, it's become acceptable to call people names, to exaggerate, even to completely make things up. And the consequences, if there are any, tend to be minimal. Now, God had some things to say about this a very long time ago. It's covered in the 5th and 8th commandments. As Luther explained it, and as we have said it a few weeks ago in our catechism moment, the 5th commandment, which is, thou shalt not kill, okay, I heard it, we're good, is not just about committing murder. It is about helping and supporting our neighbors in all of life's needs. And here's the next quiz. The 8th commandment, bear false witness, yeah, includes what we say, but also what we write on social media. Now, in Luther's explanation, he included that we are to come to our neighbor's defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. That's really hard, because we live in a polarized and polarizing time in history. But I checked my Bible, and God didn't add a holy asterisk saying, this does not apply to those living in the 21st century. Not there. And I checked my Luther's Small Catechism this morning, and there is no place where Martin Luther gives us an out, like, oops, never mind, that's too hard. Civility usually doesn't make headlines, but it's still the right response for followers of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about Elijah waiting on God when I posted a quotation on Facebook last week. Never assume that loud is strong and quiet is weak. Never assume that loud is strong and quiet is weak. In a culture where the squeaky wheel gets the grease, God's chosen communication in our first lesson of silence is radical. But there God comes to Elijah, not in a tornado or earthquake or fire, but in the silence. And we live in a world where silence is often difficult and uncomfortable. People leave their radio or their television on for noise. And I know it's not the case for everyone, but I'm quite sure that I sometimes turn on noise in an attempt to drown out the sound of the Holy Spirit calling me to do something that I don't want to do. Throughout Scripture, God speaks in unexpected ways to unexpected people. Hundreds of years after our Elijah story, God would speak again to a girl named Mary, and then through an angel to a man named Joseph, and a baby unlike any before or since would be born in a stable. People through the ages have said that Jesus couldn't possibly be God because God would have been born in a palace and treated as royalty. But the Bible shows us otherwise. God chooses to work through the very young and the very old, through those who are running from their past, to those who don't always obey, to those who have lost hope. And God speaks in burning bushes and leaping babies and lake storms and in silence too. Many decades ago, before the vast majority of homes had electricity, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Large blocks of ice were cut from lakes in the winter and hauled to these ice houses, which had very thick walls to keep that ice cold well into the summer. One day, while working in one of these ice houses, a man lost his heirloom pocket watch. It had been a gift from his father, very special to him, and he searched and searched but could not find it. He had his friends help him look. The men couldn't find it. The man was heartbroken, but they gave up. And then a neighbor boy heard about the missing watch, and he quietly slipped into the ice house. And within a few minutes, he had emerged with the watch. Well, these men asked how he had found it. They were just amazed. And the boy said, "I closed the door, lay down on the ground, and kept still. Soon I heard the watch ticking, and I followed the sound until I found it." God is still speaking, but are we listening? Sometimes our prayers read like grocery lists of things we want without room for God's editing. Sometimes we read the Bible the same way we read a novel, without pausing to let it penetrate us. Sometimes we are simply not open to what God has to say, and we turn on the noise so that we do not hear it. At the Global Leadership Summit this week, 400,000 of us around the world were in attendance. 1,600 of those were in Wichita. And we were challenged to sit quietly in the presence of God for at least 30 minutes every day, to allow God to speak to us. Now, I don't know about the 399,999 others, but I'm not doing very well on that 30 minutes of silence. It is so easy to get distracted, to think of all the other things on my list, to convince myself that silence is a waste of time. And then I remember what Martin Luther said: "I have so much to do that I shall spend my first 3 hours in prayer." Okay, he got me. I'm going for 10 minutes. We'll see how that goes. We'll go from there. This year we commemorate the fact that in 1517, God spoke through that young German monk named Martin Luther. That wasn't the first time God spoke, and it certainly isn't the last, because God is still speaking through the words of a friend or even a sermon. God is still speaking through a beautiful sunset, through a wonderful coincidence, through the smile of a stranger. In your life and in mine, every day, we think and speak and act in 1,000 different ways. And in our joys as well as our struggles, listen, because God is still speaking. Amen.